This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and today I'm joined on the line once again by James Evanpilato for another edition of The New World Next Week. James, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you being here. How are things in Portland today?
Things have been warming up. It's been a bit nicer here.
Good. It seems like we've reversed because Japan is really rainy and miserable at the moment. But I'm sure the world will restore itself to its right position soon enough. And speaking of which, let's get straight into the news. What have we got up first?
We're going to hit up my site, cyberspacewar.com, for an amazing story that was brought to me by way of cryptogon.com, but it sources back to the Washington Post. And that is essentially United States information warfare operations takes down site used to plan attacks on Americans in Iraq. Now, that's a very wordy way of saying. By early 2008, top U.S. military officials had become convinced that extremists planning attacks on American forces in Iraq were making use of a website set up by the Saudi government and the CIA to uncover terrorist plots in the kingdom. We knew we were going to be forced to shut this thing down, recalled one former civilian officer, describing tense internal discussions in which military commanders argued that the site was putting Americans at risk. CIA resented that, the former official said. Although some Saudi officials had been informed in advance about the Pentagon's plan, several key princes were absolutely furious at the loss of an intelligence gathering tool. The CIA Saudi website was set up several years ago as a honeypot, an online forum, covertly monitored by intelligence agencies to identify attackers and gain information. Now, James, I sort of stumbled my way through that. It's very wordy and a lot of verbiage to it, but break this down quite simply, what a honeypot is and what this situation is.
Well, a honeypot would be obviously a way of intelligence agencies keeping track of the terrorists by setting up something that they'll hopefully use and then being able to track them from the inside and get an inner sort of view of them. But as we were talking about off-air before we got on air today, it's almost a game of how many different previous stories can we tie this back into. Just last Sunday on my Sunday update program, I covered the FBI informant stories of the New York synagogue bombers. Turns out to have been led by FBI informants, just like every other major domestic terror bust in the U.S. for the last 20 years. We have examples of the Christmas bomber who was allowed to board the plane, and his visa was not revoked like the State Department wanted because intelligence agencies wanted to keep track of him, apparently keep track of him right up until he blew up a plane somewhere. We have just story after story coming out of this type of thing where intelligence agencies are supposedly tracking terrorists, but at what point does it become they're enabling and aiding terrorists by this type of action? So we've seen this time and time again, and there's really no major surprise here at any rate.
I think the surprise is just that it continues to happen, and it seems like folks don't quite wake up to it, the same story rolling out again and again.
Right, and it's important to note here that the military was getting angry, saying this is endangering the lives of our soldiers, and they forced the CIA to shut it down. But it's important to note that not everyone who's involved in these operations is crazy, is homicidal. It does want to, you know, play around with terrorists. I mean, some people truly do want to protect the safety of the people out there, but it's all compartmentalization.
And the rogue networks and
that's
all of
exactly
that
right.
We don't have time to get into. It's time to move to France, actually. We're going to hop over to MediaMonarchy.com with a story from The Telegraph. France ditches carbon tax as social protest mount. President Nicolas Sarkozy on Tuesday scrapped the country's proposed carbon tax and reshuffled his cabinet in populist tilt after suffering a crushing electoral defeat over the weekend. This vote saw the resurrection of both the Socialist Party and the far-right National Front, showing how the delayed effects of rising unemployment can change the political landscape long after the recession has passed. Now, James, I'm going to ask you something, but what I want to first mention is that we see this happening here in the States. We see the two sides becoming more radicalized within the false left-right paradigm that only gets exacerbated as we see the new financial world order being set up. What I want to ask you, James, is I was having a discussion the other day that started with a friend at work mentioning, yeah, and I still have a friend that doesn't believe in global warming. And our discussion went on for a long time. So just quickly, we're talking about a carbon tax. Can you tell folks, even if they believe in man-made global warming, why this scheme is ultimately a fraud?
Even if you do believe in global warming, how is paying a tax to the government to be handed out to the people again through some sort of socialist scheme, how is that going to help anything? How is that going to eliminate the evil, life-giving CO2 gas? Even if you believe the fraud, there's no reason to believe that just transferring money around is going to make things magically better. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people who know that human nature is what it is and have played on their natural human concerns about the environment that we're living in to try to construct this system whereby they can profit on our fears. It's quite disgusting the way that people are manipulated like that. But ultimately, there's no reason to buy into the fraud, but more so, there's no reason to buy into this tax scheme as a way of placating your fears about this.
Ultimately, in this case, as in so many other cases, those who have ultimately caused the problem by either letting it happen on purpose or by actively working to make it happen over multiple generations, the people who cause the problems turn around and pose as their savior, as our saviors, rather, and are ready to collect on our fears and our wallets.
Right, and you'll note in this story that apparently it was the big polluters were going to have big loopholes to get out of paying these taxes, where it was going to be the average, regular, everyday consumer who was going to bear the brunt of the burden. So it's a good thing it was defeated for sure.
So, finally, we're going to hit a story that we debated about going first with, because, of course, sex sells. An amazing story, and yes, sometimes we'll laugh at things, but I think it's because sometimes the gravity of some of the situations we're facing, you sometimes have to laugh, and we, of course, even were kind of naughty about this story that, again, is ultimately disgusting. Airport security guard ogled woman colleague in body scanner. Now, this comes from a tabloid, and I think this is kind of interesting as well, James. It comes from The Sun, which I believe is a Rupert Murdoch tabloid. They're not reporting this story as the egregious violation of personal privacy and police state that it is. They're doing it because it's sex. So, reading from The Sun, a Heathrow security man was quizzed by police after ogling a girl colleague naked, and they put quotes around naked, in a new anti-terror body scanner. Joe Margitson, 29, reported that John Laker, 25, after he took her picture with the X-ray gadget and made a lewd comment. The pervy guard leered and told her, quote, "I love those gigantic tits," end quote. She had entered the X-ray machine by mistake and was horrified when John Laker pressed a button to take a revealing photo. Laker, who faces the sack, meaning fired, was the first airport worker to be caught abusing the controversial new devices. They were brought in by the government after the Christmas Day underpants bomber tried to blow up a flight on Detroit. They produce full-body nude images of passengers to locate hidden weapons or explosives. This includes clear outlines of genitalia. Opponents of the body scanner, including anti-pedophilia groups, have furiously condemned their use. After Laker sneaked a look at her body and made the remark, the horrified Margitson told her bosses and police at the West London airport. There are so many points within this story that we could hit. The debunking, of the Christmas Day bomber. That the scanners don't actually work that well, and that they'll destroy your very DNA, James.
Yeah, it's a case of which point do you want to hit? Well, how about the fact that this is exactly what critics of these scanners were saying this is going to ultimately be used for by the quote pervy guards. Who get this authority to use this technology and oh, surprise, they're going to abuse it. Well, of course they are. I mean, it's absolutely just a predictable result of human nature being what it is, and people definitely should not have the power to use this type of technology. And I think one of the scariest aspects of this story was the responses. If you go and read the comments on this story on The Sun's website, It's quite a sad reality that so many people are it almost seems like a program. I'm happy to be scanned as long as it makes me safer.
Mm-hmm. And that's unfortunately the belief, and that's, I think, why we try and do these stories that, again, can sometimes feel, you know, repetitive in a way, but that they further just show the destruction of a lot of these official stories out there that we really, really, really have to break down, because I feel like things are escalating rapidly.
Unfortunately, they are, but we can escalate our efforts in return. So, speaking of which, throw out the websites.
MediaMonarchy.com, CyberspaceWar.com, and FoodWorldOrder.com.
James M. Pilato, thank you once again.
Thank you. Take care.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.